A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 2nd February 2023. It's a Thursday class. Namo Bensi Sakya Moni Pho. Namo Bensi Sakya Moni Pho. Namo Bensi Sakya Moni Pho. Namo Guan Sing Pusa.那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么阿弥陀佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨。那么佛阿地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦迪米。Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama SambuddhasaBuddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami,Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPānātipātā viramani sikkhāpadāṃ samādhiyāmi Ādinādāna viramani sikkhāpadāṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu mijjācārā viramani sikkhāpadāṃ samādhiyāmiMusawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Padipa Puja, offering supply Kanda sarapatithenaDipena tamadang sina Diloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang sukhang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamangVanna Ganda Guno Petang Etang Kusuma Santatin Pujayami Monindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi putang kasumena nena Punena matena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tono bante Paniyang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tono bante Pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tono bante Bojanang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, let's now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of its significance of all these offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we are diligently and sincerely strive on with sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Then, finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. So today is our first Tuesday class. Oh, sorry. We have swapped with Thursday class. So the first Thursday class here after the Chinese New Year. Only temporary. Yeah. Because Tuesday, Dr. J and the mother want to offer Dana. So not convenient to host it here because Pamasuri there got the facility and the space. So they also want more Kayamita to attend. So that location is more strategic for Subang people. So the request was granted. And the other reason is Brother Teo is having a minor knee operation on the 3rd tomorrow. So if tomorrow operation, Thursday, Pamasuri have to take care of him and the children all will be involved. So they cannot host the Thursday class. That's why they want it to be swapped. So I say no problem. Then we really would like to wish them well-being and happiness, and wish Brother Tung having a successful and smooth, well-attended operation, so that she can recover to good health soon as possible. So we were towards the end, send marriage, transfer marriage, and what we call invoke power of marriage for his well-being during tomorrow's operation. Okay, the other one is I forgot already. That day, Tuesday, somebody asked me to share marriage with somebody. Who already? Miss Lee. I was told by, I think, Yun Chan earlier on, then Po Lian. But she called me that time, she was okay, you know. I also don't know. But anyway, I think Thursday I didn't do it because I forgot about it. So tonight, remind me. We read it to both Miss Lee and Bertil. Who? Oh, to for treatment or?
I don't know.
But looks like she's okay. But anyway, about her headache and all those things, we read it some metta and send some pure wish to allow her to have the condition to recover from whatever that she is going through. Okay, good. So I think as usual, we'll have 30 minutes of silent awareness-based meditation. We are off the light so that we can have our awareness-based meditation. And tonight, I think I will finish off the sharing from this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Sutta earlier, so that we can have more time to discuss that email sharing from, I don't know who is he, Adam Tan, but he located me through the YouTube after listening to a lot of my YouTube video. And he was very amazed and impressed. Then he wanted to seek permission to ask me some question, which I willingly gave consent. Then immediately he sent the question. The questions were very relevant and very good. I think he is a serious cultivator. That's why he can have this type of question. And he also, I think, have been long in this cultivation. Yeah, it seems according to him, 27 years ago at the age of 20, he was doing serious meditative and mindfulness training. And he can maintain it almost throughout the day at that time. Then something happened and he couldn't understand what really happened. So he asked around, he asked many monks, but according to him, he doesn't find their answer very useful or very acceptable, in the sense that he knew something happened but he cannot answer. Then when he heard my video sharing, he was more confident. He realized a lot of things I said, he can understand. But even though he has not done it, but a lot of the thing that I share, he realized normal people cannot understand, cannot teach. So he was like very amazed, very impressed. Then he wrote to me. That's how the request came. Then the reply was given. I supposed to reply tomorrow, but somehow because we have a class today, so I was thinking maybe if I have the time, I will reply to him before 6 o'clock today, which I did. So it's all meant to be. Then we can have the sharing after. As usual, the four support: relax, aware, maintain awareness. Then silence everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Stabilize the awareness nature inside. Then you can do that. The fourth support is trust. Trust your nature. To develop the meditative internal movement to your heart area, which is the location where you can detect the gateway to your nature within your physical body. So all this are very useful for those who have already developed the ability to stay at the heart. You can do it. Okay, you all can slowly come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind states that you need to stabilize your daily mindfulness and to help you maintain heedfulness. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chokawalesu Atra Gachantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunanto Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Moatasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namoatasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato saukasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho yadidam chatari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkheneyo Anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Dhamma sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at, I think, page 420 of this book, chapter 2, Expedient Devices, by Dipitaka Master Xuanhua. Sariputta, when the Buddhas of the future shall come into the world, they will also be they will also, by means of limitless countless expedient devices, various causes and condition, analogy and expression, proclamation of the Dhammas to living being. So this part is very important. This part in the sutta is mentioned. That's why Sakyamuni Buddha told Sariputta, when Buddhas of the future come into the world, they will also, by means of the word limitless, you must pay attention, limitless, countless, expedient device, various causes and condition, analogies and expression, to proclaim all of Dhammas to living being. Because living being has such extensive variation of karmic background, karmic conditioning, karmic past, and also civilization, different time, different places, different civilization. So living beings all over the universe, there are great variation in possibilities. So to teach such a vast variation of beings, we really need limitless, countless, expedient devices, various causes and condition, energy expression, to proclaim all Dhammas to living being. Even what my nature has started to do over the past 18 years of coming out to share the Dhamma. At times, I also need to use a lot of all these expedient devices, understanding various causes and conditions, then bring about various causes and conditions for things to manifest. Then sometimes I have to use my own words to describe the Dhamma. Then various analogy and expressions to let living being develop the understanding. So all this, when you walk the path of Dhamma, taking the Bodhisattva way, you will understand. Then I will read on. The sutta continue. These Dhammas will all be for the sake of the one Buddha vehicle, means the supreme vehicle. Hearing the Dhamma from the Buddhas, all these living beings will ultimately attain to the wisdom of all modes, means the perfection of wisdom, prajna paramita. So this perfection of wisdom is what you need to be a Sammasambuddha. That's why the sutta is worded in such a manner. Then the sutta continue. Sakyamuni Buddha again told Sariputta, he said, Sariputta, presently, all of the Buddhas whirl on at once throughout the 10 directions in limitless hundreds of thousands of myriads of millions of Buddha land. See the extent. Buddha land also so many. What about living beings? Greatly benefit living beings and bring them peace and happiness. These Buddhas also, by means of limitless, countless expedient devices, various causes and conditions, analogies and expressions, extensively the word, proclaim all the Dhammas to living beings. These Dhamma are all for the sake of the one Buddha, supreme vehicle. All these living beings, hearing the Dhamma from the Buddhas, ultimately attain the wisdom of all moods. And the Buddha continued, he said, Sariputta, all the Buddhas only teach and transform bodhisattvas because they wish to demonstrate to living beings the Buddha's knowledge and vision. Because they wish to awaken living beings to the Buddha's knowledge and vision. And because they wish to lead living beings to enter the Buddha's knowledge and vision. So these are the reason why Samasambuddha, they teach bodhisattvas first. Then these bodhisattvas, they are the one that can comprehend what the Buddha is trying to share, because they too have walked the path. And through all this sharing, they can help do the work, the major work. And we come to the commentaries. Outline commentaries. The Buddha of the future, followed by the Buddha of the present. Okay, commentaries. Sariputta, the Buddha of the past spoke the Dhamma in this way. What about the Buddha of the future? It is the same way. When the Buddha of the future shall come into the world, they will also, by means of limitless, countless expedient devices, various causes and conditions, analogies and expressions of truth, proclaim all the Dhammas to living beings. They will expound upon all men as a wonderful Dhamma for the sake of all living beings. These Dhammas will all be for the sake of the one Buddha vehicle, the supreme vehicle. There are no other vehicle. Hearing this Dhamma from the Buddha, all of these living beings will ultimately attain the modes, the wisdom of all modes. The final aim, the end goal, is to cause all living beings to gain the wisdom of all modes, means perfection of wisdom. Sariputta, presently all the Buddhas, were honored one throughout the 10 directions in limitless hundreds of thousands of myriads of millions of Buddha lands, greatly benefit living beings and bring them peace and happiness. They wish to benefit and prove all living beings, profit all living beings, and cause them to be serene and blissful. Yeah. Actually, it should be serene, tranquil, and peaceful. Yeah. These Buddhas also, by means of limitless, countless expedient devices, various causes and conditions, analogies and expression of truth, proclaim all the Dhammas to living beings. These Dhamma are all for the sake of the one Buddha vehicle, the supreme vehicle. Regardless of whether they are of the past, present or future, all of the Buddhas in the 10 directions speak the Dhamma only for the sake of the one Buddha, supreme vehicle. All these living beings, hearing the Dhamma from the Buddha, ultimately attain the wisdom of all mode. The ultimate goal is to lead living beings to gain the wisdom of all mode, to perfect Bodhi and return to the state of non-attachment. Sariputta, all the Buddhas only teach and transform bodhisattvas because they wish to demonstrate to living beings the Buddha's knowledge and vision. The Buddha of the past, present and future only wish to teach bodhisattva how to realize Buddhahood, because they wish to awaken living beings to the Buddha's knowledge and vision, And because they wish to lead living beings to enter the Buddha's knowledge and vision, they want to instruct all living beings in the knowledge and vision of the Buddha to cause them to awaken to that knowledge and vision, to cause them to enter into that knowledge and vision. Because of the causes and conditions of this great matter, the Buddha entered the world, the Buddha of the three periods of time, for the sake of the one Buddha Vahika first spoke, the clever, ingenious Dhamma, the law of expedient means. Their final aim was to cause all living beings to attain the Buddha knowledge and vision, the Buddha's wisdom, the position of Buddhahood. Okay, we go to the next part of the sutta. Sariputta, I now too am also like this. Knowing that living beings have various desires to which their hearts are deeply attached, according to their basic disposition, and by means of various causes and conditions, analogy and expressions of truth, and the power of expedient device, I speak the Dhamma to them. So this is very beautiful. And we come to the commentaries, explanation regarding Sakyamuni Buddha's opening the provisional. So this one is about Sakyamuni Buddha starting the official teachings of the Lotus Sutta to all the bodhisattvas and all those who are present. Because initially they were teaching all those expedient means, expedient devices. Then Sakyamuni Buddha has to introduce them, to prepare them for this ultimate sharing or teaching. The one vehicle, supreme vehicle. So the commentary starts by saying, Sariputta, I Sakyamuni now too am also like all these past, present, and future Buddhas. I now presently teach and transform living beings in just the same way. I use the various kinds of causes and conditions, analogies, and expression of truth to speak the Dhamma to living beings. Knowing that living being has various desires to which their heart are deeply attached, according to their basic disposition, and by means of various causes and conditions, analogy, expression of truth, and the power of expedient devices. Their thought of desire were not created through the habit patterns of one lifetime only. See? Your habitual tendency doesn't come from one lifetime only. They have been created through patterns formed throughout limitless aeons in successive lifetimes. Understand this. That's why before you walk the path of Dhamma, the delusion, the avijja, the heedlessness is terrible. And the way all these habitual patterns or habitual tendency that has evolved over limitless aeons or kappas. And the word in successive life is the worst. Continuously deluded and heedless. That's why to come out of it is not easy. That's why the Buddha said, for this reason, they are deeply implanted in the field of the eight consciousness, which is the alaya consciousness of living being. Alaya consciousness is where you continuously move your sankhara, heedless living. You are hardly mindful, hardly aware, and you cannot touch that nature. That's why you are totally lost. You don't know that there is another nature, another mind behind. You only know the mundane mind, the alaya consciousness. So here, when we read through the sutta, we will understand why living beings are such. That's why a lot of your Gayamita, you are very blessed. We are born during the sasana, born as a human being, with all the conditions to receive this Dhamma. Your Parami must be exceptional, otherwise you can't. So I read on. The Buddha said, because they are firmly embedded there, they are attached to them and they cannot set them aside. Because over a long period of delusion, the power of such attachment is extremely strong. It is not easy to gain release from one's attachment or grasping or clinging or holding on. Knowing this, I follow along with the basic nature of each living being with his habit, be they deep or shallow, and use the power of, actually the word clever is the wrong word, use the power of wisdom and expedient means. I will speak the Dhamma to them to set them free of their attachment. So this work of taking living being across and liberate them is not easy, because deluded living beings, they are all over, and most of them, unless it's like now during the sasana, you may have quite a lot of those with good roots who can develop the understanding and the awakening. If there is no sasana, I tell you, where the dispensation that teaches the teaching is no longer available, means if the sasana is closed, then this teaching is gone. And when this teaching is gone, I ask you a very simple question. It's also like an analogy. Let's say you are not born during the sasana. You're born during the period where there is no sasana, no Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching, no essential Dhamma, no Four Noble Truths, no understanding of what reality of life and existence are. You don't even know who you are, what you are, what your mind is all about. Through delusion, over a long period of habitual living or patterning, you have become so lost. So how can you come out of this? There is no way, understand? So when we reflect on all this, that's why I say when there is the window for you to come during this period, which is the narrow window, the sasana of Sakyamuni, which is about 5,000 years, maybe 4,500 because of the Bhikkhuni order, in terms of relative time compared to the aeons and aeons and aeons of birth and death, that window is very small. It's only a very minute time span. And during this 4,500 or even 5,000 years, how many times can you be born as a living being, as a human being, and have the appropriate causes and conditions to come into contact with the Dhamma, to develop this understanding, not to say cultivation? And this period, if you have not prepared yourself, cultivate yourself before, like the thing that I taught you all, the Bodhisattva way, all those things, all the right view, you don't stand a chance, I tell you. That's why Buddhas and Bodhisattva, they have to come and do this work. And they can only do this work during the sasana. That is the bad news. Because during sasana, it was so difficult to teach living beings, you understand? Do you know, even now during the sasana, from the number of email that is written to me, people are looking for teachers and guides to understand this teaching. It is very difficult to encounter a real one who truly has the understanding. That's why those who have the past, they appreciate In fact, many years ago, I think about 5 years ago, we started the website 2017. I have been telling Jin Hao. I think that time my daughter also haven't come back, but I think in between the retreat or what, she must have heard it. Given time, I say, because of the causes and conditions. This is a major causes and condition, the website. I say, if we have this website, in time to come, this is the real gem that a lot of people will come and listen. Those who have the affinity, the past, the understanding, the cultivation, then they will appreciate this type of teaching, which you can't find in other places. Very rare, very, very rare. Just like the opening statement of the sutta, opening verse of the sutta. So now it has started, actually. More and more are writing in. So even the Adam Tan, he is now very enthusiastic, and I think he worked very fast. He even texted me just now while you all were doing the meditation. It seems he's from Singapore. He want to know where I stay. Then he said, "Oh yeah, JB is the best." I haven't told him my daughter is in JB. Then I saw his Singapore number. Then I said he had some small group in Singapore. Wow, he was so excited, he immediately wanted me to add him to the Singapore group. So things start to happen. Then the question he asked is beautiful. So others we will go through. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Sariputta, this is all done so that they may attain the one Buddha vehicle, which is the supreme vehicle and the wisdom of all modes. Sariputta, in the world of the 10 directions, there are not even two vehicles. How much the less is three? Sariputta, all Buddhas appear in the world of the five evil, turbidity. That is the kappa, turbidity, the affliction, turbidity, the living beings, turbidity, the view, turbidity, and the life ability. So these five evil abilities, they are actually periods of extreme delusion and suffering. So during the kappa ability, it means the whole kappa is full of deluded people. Tabit, cannot see, very muddled. Or like cannot see. Then affliction turbidity is a word. A lot of suffering, a lot of affliction. Of course, living being turbidity is a word. All the living being also blur, cannot see. Then view turbidity also very intensely terrible, where their views are all very, very negative and all extremely bad, wrong views. So view turbidity means at that time very severe. Then light turbidity means everything that goes on within the existential world is full of suffering, misery, everything. The whole of life is in turbidity. So the living being turbidity, the view turbidity, and the light turbidities. So all this can be very severe. So Sariputta, it is that in the time of the confusion of the coming that arises the kappa turbidity. Living beings are heavily laden with impurities, or what we call the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Because they are greedy, they are stingy, full of envy, jealousy, hatred. They develop unwholesome evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. For this reason, All the Buddhas, by means of the power of expedient devices, within the one Buddha vehicle, the supreme vehicle, make discrimination and speak of the initial three vehicle. That's why the Buddha now explained why the expedient devices were used, why initially they taught the teaching in this way, like we have gone through the three vehicles, as we all know. The first vehicle is what they call the sainthood way. The sainthood way are the sound hearers, the four type of noble beings, Sakadagami, Sotapanaship, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahant. So these are the first expedient vehicle teaching. We are at that time, you need the basic Dhamma, basic enlightenment, before you can teach them the higher Dhamma. Then, after the sainthood way, the Buddha actually also teach during non-sasana, but they cannot come. But they have disciples who have learned from them before. So these are the beings that come and become enlightened without the sasana, without the Buddha and his teaching dispensation. They are the conditioned enlightened one. They're enlightened via realizing the dwelling, paticca-samuppada, understanding how their mind function, how they function as a living being, and how their citta or their mundane mind function. So through that, they realize the Four Noble Truths. And they awaken. That's why they are called the Paccheka Buddhas or the Silent Buddha. Actually, silent because they are not like Samasa Buddha and Bodhisattva who can teach. They can teach, but very limited because they don't have extensive experiences. They don't have extensive perfection, cultivation, and all those things. So most of this, they are actually working, cultivating towards the sainthood way. And they are already very happy to realize the sainthood way, which is already very, very noble. So because of that, if you look at the way that teaching is being taught, you need the sainthood way and the Paccheka Buddhas to actually provide the numbers that can walk the Bodhisattva path. That's why the supreme vehicle is the Bodhisattva path leading to Samasa Buddhahood. It's just like you want to establish university level of education, tertiary. But you need secondary school students. You need upper secondary students. Then some primary school also you have to prepare them. That's why all these are all the very skillful means, expedient ways, causes and conditions that the Bodhisattvas, the Samasambuddha, they have to evolve and develop so that all this can be established. So I will read on. We have to end soon. For this reason, all the Buddha by means of power expedient device within the one supreme Buddha vehicle make discriminations and speak of three. This one I have covered. Sariputta, if a disciple of mine call himself an arahat or Paccheka Buddha, but does not hear or know of the fact that all the Buddhas, the Tathagatam one, only teach and transform the Bodhisattva. The Buddha used such a word. No, he is not a disciple of the Buddha. No. Nor is he an arahat, nor a Paccheka Buddha. So this is very strong words, because he is speaking to a different set of audience. So he expects the disciples of the Buddha, the true disciple, to go all out to the one vehicle, supreme vehicle. Okay, we stop here. Then I just read through quickly the outline. Before the commentaries, the outline is revealing the actual, bringing up the five tibidities, which we have gone through, to show the necessity of the for provisional teachings. Then state the truth, list the five tibidities, conclusion, dispensing with the false, in order to build faith in the one actual teaching, selecting the false from the truth. True. Not knowing or hearing, they are not true disciples. Okay, so we stop here. I mark this page. Okay, we are on page 424. Okay, So now is our second session. We will open up for Dhamma question, meditation reporting, and sharing. So today I also like to share that special sharing by, I think, based on the encounter with a Singaporean, Adam Tan. I think he wrote to me, then I, as I explained just now, I consented to it. Then after that, I actually shared it. I told him the question that he wanted to ask, he can ask, provided they are relevant, the more question. So it seems he's very sincere, and the question was very relevant, very beautiful, and very appropriate. So when I reply to him, it's meant to help others too, because there are many out there seeking such understanding. And this type of understanding is not easy to come by. So on the 31st of January, 2023, Adam Tan actually wrote to me. He said, hey Bratio, I've seen your YouTube video and was amazed by your understanding. Is it okay if I could ask you a few Buddhist questions which have troubled me for a long time? If you permit me, then I will write my question in my next email. Then I replied to him and said, dear Adam Tan, no problem. You are most welcome to ask any relevant Dhamma question. My nature rejoices with your relatively good understanding of the Dhamma too. Then I say sadhu, 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 with metta always. Because for a person to address with such courtesy and sincerity means he can understand to a certain extent what I share and what I have spoken. And this type of cultivator are very rare. Very, very rare. That's why I say I rejoice, my nature rejoices with his relatively good understanding of the Dhamma too. Then we move on. Then came his question. His question is very interesting. He said, hi, Bratio. Thank you so much. I have three questions as listed below. Hope you can enlighten me. Thanks. Question one. You listen. About 27 years ago, he said, in my 20s, means could be 21, 22, 23, I don't know, 21, is 20s. So you add 20 plus to 40, to 27, he is now maybe 40 something to 50 something, I'm not sure. He said, I remember I was doing intense sitting meditation. This is the word, intense sitting meditation. At that young age, you know, he's just graduated, you know. And of course, mindfulness practice. There was one very specific incident And I was walking on the street, he said. While walking, I kept my mindfulness. As I stroll along the street, I passed by a school gate. Beside the school gate was a tree blooming with flowers. While walking, I raised my head, and I saw the blooming flowers on the tree. At that point, I smiled in appreciation of the beautiful sight. Then came the unexplainable experience, which happened in the next moment. At the next moment, according to him, he said, my mind is like in a momentary freeze, Then the inner voice asked, who is seeing this flower? Then he understand there is no one seeing. Of course, he used the word just a flower. It's just that consciousness, understand? That seeing consciousness. But he put it as just the flower. Then he said, in a split second, as I recall my experience afterwards, he said, I have many insights which I believe I suddenly can understand what Buddhism is talking all about. At that point of seeing, I lost the person which is the me who see, means objective seeing, not the subjective seeing. It's actually the direct seeing. And for the first time, I realized that without thought, there is no I, no me, and no mind, and just this seeing consciousness. I recall in the Diamond Sutta that said the three mind cannot be attained. Actually, it's the mind of the three period of time. So the Mahayana Diamond Sutta, they have this saying, 过去心不可得, 未来心不可得, 现在心也不可得. So the mind of the three period of time, past, present, and future, they are all not a reality. You cannot cling on to them, grasp on to them, and hold on to them. They are still within the field of thought. Then after that, he continued. He said, as I recollect the incident moment to moment, he realized there is this arising and passing away in rapidity, one after another, arise, diminish, almost simultaneously. Then he used the word as if he lost his mind. 1 second, and the next moment he returned to the point of seeing the flower like a flash. So in actuality, there is no now. This is according to him. And it passes in the next moment. So at that time, he cannot understand what is going on. That's why he went ahead and asked many people with it. For many years, I asked many monks about my experience, my disexperience, and this sudden experiential insights. But not many gave me a satisfactory answer until I saw your videos, as your teaching seems like they are in line with my experiential insight. With all this information, can you tell me what I actually went through or experienced? Then the second question is, what is the difference between Arahant's Nibbana and the Bodhisattva's Nibbana? Why does one cease to come back as an Arahant and one can come back to rebirth as a Bodhisattva? Then the next part of the question is, once all the defilements has been rooted out, he used the word clear, has been rooted out, who is left to be reborn? That is the question. Then the other question is, since there is no self, then who takes the rebirth? By making a vow, isn't it a voluntary action which needs mental thoughts and emotion? If so, then these are also empty in nature. When then? Actually, it should be who. Huh? Who then? Take on the verb. The spelling is wrong. Huh? Then question 3. I heard a lot of Theravada monks say that a Sotapan has perfect sila. But based on the attainment, the three poisons are still intact at the Sotapanna stage. So, Adam is not wrong. Eh? But he couldn't understand how the sainthood way transformed. Eh? Then he said, how can then a stream enterer gain perfect sila? Yeah. The word perfect sila is like a bit strong. Eh? What the Buddha meant is, as a sotapan, eh? The first stage of sainthood, because no more sakkayaditi. Then the first fetter, followed by the second fetters and the third fetters, they have been severed. There are 10 fetters that bind or chain living being to samsara. So the first stage of sainthood is very powerful. The first 3 fetters already gone. So these first 3 fetters, they are very, very important, especially the first one. Sakkayaditti, self-delusion, no more. Yeah. Then after that, faith in the triple gem, unshakable. Then the third one is no more delusion to cling on to rites and ritual. This one cannot happen already. Yeah. Then under the 10 fetters, the fourth and the fifth fetters, they are sensual desire and ill will. So even at the second stage of sainthood, you only attenuate or reduce the fourth and fifth fetters. Only at the anagami level state, you actually root out the first 5 fetters. Then to proceed from there, the last 5 fetters, which is 6 to 10, you need to become an arahant. You need to realize arahantship. Yeah. That's why the last 5 fetters, they are very subtle. Attachment to form jhanas, attachment to the formless jhana, those high tranquility and stillness state born of energy field, yeah, the jhanic experiences. Then you have minor conceit, the 8th one. Then you have restlessness of mind, the 9th fetters. And finally is the last one is avijja, ignorance. So these last 5 are only rooted out at the arahant stage. Yeah. So actually at the sotapan stage, the sensual desire, you will, although is still there. Only at the second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, yeah, is attenuated. But you must understand, because the first 3 fetter has been severe, there is no more delusion that he exists, the egoic mind. Actually, that one gone. And because of that, the greed, hatred, and delusion actually already watered down. Because there is no being inside there. The Sotapan understands. And he cannot do all the funny thing that normal healers people do. That's why his precept will be, that's why I say it's not perfect sila. But he cannot break the 5 precept already. But the 5 precept is very basic. Very basic. And he cannot break the precept. No way can he break the precept. Because with mindfulness and that wisdom and the understanding as a Sotapan, there is no way, like I explained to you last time, to you last time. All the 5, first to fifth precepts, you check. First one, of course, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living being. You can't. You cannot intentionally do it. You can't know it. Then stealing, misappropriation, also they can't. Of course, sexual misconduct is even more impossible. Then the fourth one is telling lie and honesty. So that one, with their wisdom and understanding, they know how to actually keep the precepts very well. Then, of course, the last one, intoxicant that cause their consciousness to stir. That one is no problem to them at all. So, basing on all this, that's why you will come to understand why the Buddha in the teachings under the Avijja Sutta, which I explained to him later on, explain clearly why the basic precept, the five precept, cannot be broken. Because under Avijja Sutta, when you cultivate, step four is very important. Yoniso manasikara means you develop wisdom, initial wisdom, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso, wisdom, manasikara at the moment of sense experience or attention or contact. So because of that, step four of the Avijja Sutta, when you have that, you become very different. You can actually do a lot of things. Yeah. Because yoniso manasikara, like I explained to you all, is wisdom, initial wisdom, born of cultivation. First turning wisdom, second turning wisdom, third turning wisdom. The initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, initially is mostly from first turning and second turning. The third turning is penetrative through direct seeing, insight. That one is very penetrative. Yeah. So that one, the wisdom come out is very stable. Yeah. But initially, to improve on your mindfulness, to live life, you only need the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. That's why once you have yoniso manasikara, it will prompt you at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. That wisdom born of Dhamma will prompt you. That's why you will act according to this initial wisdom, no more from memory. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. No more from that. It comes from this yoniso manasikara. Then when it prompts you, when you see something, sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe Dhamma anatta, straight away, it will not make you deluded anymore. Then it loses its power. That's why you don't think anymore. You have less and less thinking, less and less reaction and stirring of mind. The duality all slowly, slowly reduce. And because of yoniso manasikara, the next step, step five, which is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension become possible because of this initial wisdom. Without this initial wisdom, you cannot. Your sankhara cannot stop. It will stir, it will react. It will move according to paticca samuppada, the dwelling. And very fast it moves. That's why without the stability of mindfulness, awareness, and the initial wisdom arising through your cultivation of the first, second, and third turning wisdom, there is no way you can reach step four, leading to step five. So when you have step five, sati sampajana, means you not only mindful, you have clear comprehension, the four type of clear comprehension. You become very clear in your training. That's why after that, you move on to step six. What is step six? You can do that already. Sense restraint. Because your sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension is so clear, there is no way you can break your sense restraint. At the moment of sense experience, the initial wisdom arises from you. Then at the same time, your mindfulness is so stable, sati, sampajana, with clear comprehension, non-delusion. Then you have clear comprehension of suitability. You have clear comprehension of non-delusion and all those things. Including the domain of meditation. So all this understanding will prevent you from going wrong. That's why sense restraint, step six, is there. Your senses, you no longer stir and react like last time. That's why sati sampajana become very clear. Everything fall into place. Then after that, when you put forth the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, then you reach step seven. The three way of right conduct or wise conduct, action, speech, and thought process. You will be able to arise it. That's why at step six and seven, you are at least a sotapan. And very likely, before you even finish step seven, you will become a sakadagami. That's why after that, only step eight, the Buddha said, you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. And inside the four foundation of mindfulness is stated clearly in the sutta, opening and end statement. The opening statement say, after overcoming covetousness and greed, then only you can cultivate mindfulness of the four foundation. What is covetousness and greed? This is the fourth and fifth fetters, understand now, which is sensual desire and ill will. That's why after overcoming that means you at least a sotapan or a sakadagami already. Then only you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Then if you cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness following what the Buddha has taught you, the Buddha said maximum 7 years. Fastest 1 week. You will at least realize anagamiship. If there is still some minor conceit. Otherwise, you will become an arahant. So the sutta is very clear, very consistent. That's why all this understanding, very few Dhamma practitioner or even the Buddhist community understand. Well, this part, I have not seen anybody highlight, especially the Abhijja Sutta that is so important. Okay, we go back to sharing. That's why after step 8, I myself finish it. There is this step 9, which is the seven factors for enlightenment. They will keep on arising. When you do the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, with stability of mindfulness, Sati Sampajana, and the initial wisdom, and you continue to reflect, contemplate, and stabilize your understanding, then all the enlightenment factors, the seven factors that lead to enlightenment in the here and the now, they will keep on arising. Then you know you are on the right path. Otherwise, you are far away from enlightenment. Then cessation of form and mind will occur at step 10 to realize the enlightenment. Okay, then question 2, I have finished. I haven't finished.
So I move
up. All 3 finished already. Yes, you move up. Then I reply to him. The first reply is this one. I say, dear Adam Tan, salute to you for your below rather good question. Do listen to my below YouTube video dated March 2019. Yeah. That one was shared in my SS2 house. You click on that link, the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada, come out. Yeah. Then I also explain the Bodhisattva way, how the traditional teaching that teach Paticca Samuppada in a 3 period of time and all those things on, is not according to my understanding. The real one is every moment, every instant one. Then I explain the what they call movement from one link to the next until the whole thing is understood. Then I also give a lot of explanation in between all the links. And I give a lot of other sharing which are very useful. That's why I say, do listen to my below YouTube video dated March 2 1 9. And it will help you understand your below question 1 and 2. Then tomorrow, I will answer your question 3, the 3 questions below. Sadhu and rejoice your wholesomeness and relatively good understanding. I suppose I will reply tomorrow, but because of the class, I replied today, before 6. Okay, then my reply to him. This one is very beautiful, you listen. I said, Dear Adam Tan, you had listened to the YouTube video dated March 2019, sent to you earlier, then you should be in a better position to understand my below concise explanation to your 3 questions. So his first question, as I have read through earlier to you, now I highlight it so that you can see the keywords. 27 years ago, he already so determined. So he actually is a very, very sincere cultivator. Very determined. He said, in his early 20s, in his 20s, he remembered doing intense sitting meditation and mindfulness practice. There was one very specific incident when he was walking on the street while walking, he kept his mindfulness. As he strolled along the street, he passed by a school gate. Beside the gate was a tree blooming with flowers. While walking, he said he raised his head and he saw the blooming flower on the tree. At that point, he smiled in appreciation of the beautiful sight. Then the unexplained experience happened in the next moment. At the next moment, he said, his mind is like a momentary freeze. So my answer to this first part is, based on what you have reported above, very likely, what happened was you had a glimpse of your past cultivation, which is starting to let you develop the understanding of the more penetrative Dhamma born of the direct seeing. Then the next part of the question is, who is seeing this flower? There is no one seeing, just the flower, in a split second. Then I ask him to recall what he has listened to in the video. I said, remember the light bulb physics experiment analogy explained by me in the video? In that split second, upon contact, the light bulb just light up. And that lighting up is like making you conscious. That is the consciousness. So like what the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. And there is no one to see as yet. The egoic mind or the ego only arises when there is sakkayadity or self-delusion. That condition want to input the content of consciousness deludedly into the pure seeing consciousness, which is the pure vijnana. So the third link of the paticca-samuppada, first link is avijja, dependent on ignorance. It conditions sankhara activity, thinking. Thinking make contact. So that contact is actually mind contact, mind as an organ. So mind contact will trigger consciousness, which is mind consciousness. So in this case, if it's seeing the flower, then it's seeing consciousness. Pure, without the content. But the moment you input the content, whether you act from memory or through Dhamma wisdom, it makes a big difference. So the content of consciousness that goes in, if there is sakkayadity, then the next link becomes the deluded link. Means, vijnanam paccaya namarup. Namarup here, the meaning is the 5 aggregate of form and my second aspect, the mental. Because the form, which is the content of consciousness, the mental form, through your perception or whatever, that perceive and your views, opinion, conditioning from memory, that react and stir, create the content. So this content becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. This is what thought is all about. The pure consciousness without content is pure awareness, pure consciousness. But once the content going, it becomes a thought. That is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. So, yeah. He described it in his own word, Yu Chan. It's not freeze. It's like the direct seeing. Understand? Suddenly, that thing like freeze. You remember I told you, when you have stability of mindfulness, you can be at the moment of seeing. The seeing consciousness. Before the knowing, before the perception, before the content going, you can stay there. Yeah, he has done it in the past. So that glimpse came back to him. After that glimpse, it's just like the Sotapanna and the Sakadagami. They only have a glimpse of cessation. But there is enough for them to understand. It's like after that, like they didn't meditate. They understand really. But that glimpse is very important. And to have that glimpse, you have to put in a lot of diligent, hard work in the past. That's why these people cultivate, understand? But not thought-based, awareness-based. They say he did mindfulness. So that freezing the frame can happen. When you have sati sampajana, every frame is like, you can be, like I say, at the moment of feeling. Feeling will become pure feeling. It cannot be conditioned into craving. Cannot move because of the wisdom. Yoni so manasika. Do you understand? Yeah. That's why the real Dhamma is not theory on, not what people say on. This one is true understanding to the real life. You see the movement inside that. But without stability of mindfulness, you can't. That's why you need the stability of mindfulness, the awareness nature within, and the daily mindfulness. Otherwise, the Avijja Sutta, the step 4 and 5, you cannot do. Cannot be realized. Yeah. So this particular person, Adam Dunn, he has done it in the past. That's why I put that very lightly. That's why other than he say, he can understand a lot of things. Huh. It's because of the past, the glimpse. Because I also went through the early days, before even I went into the Dhamma, the meditation, I saw a lot of things that in life I know is something very special, but I cannot understand at that time. And then later on, I realized these are nature's movement. That's why I later on can describe to you specific phenomenal awareness. That was what I saw when I was 8 years old. The tree, the branches, without words on. The movement, actually. My mind just followed that thing, flow with it. Huh. Who taught me? Nobody taught me. I was so young at that time. I saw that glimpse. Then I knew it is meant for me to understand certain things. And even at 8 years old, also, my consciousness came out of the body experience, I told you. All this is to allow me to recall, to actually connect back to my past. And all this is from the spiritual nature, the karmic nature. They will work together and develop all this movement. That's why, dependent on whatever you have perfected, cultivated, it will trigger. But you have not done anything. If all the while, like just now the Buddha described, aeons and aeons of turbidity, you sure cannot come out of it. Understand? That's why the cultivator of the way is different. Different. So this window should put in the effort. Strive on with heedfulness and really work towards it. Otherwise, that window closed is really a waste. After that, very difficult to have this type of window again. Anyway, I read through first. So I told him, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. No one to see us yet. So the input of the content of consciousness, I have explained. So when you input the content without yoniso manasikara or wisdom, then there is sakayadity. Then your mind will stir and react. And the content of consciousness will have wholesome and unwholesome. And most of the time it's either evil or unwholesome. Yeah. Then after the next part of the question, he said, as I recall my experience afterward, I have many insights. This is the one I was trying to explain. Which I believe, I suddenly understand what Buddhism is talking about. But I rephrase the word for him. I said, in my answer, I said, that glimpse of the direct seeing is good enough for you to develop the understanding of the Dhamma more deeply. And we call that the initial wisdom, which is yoniso manasikara, born of direct seeing. And that is why you say you have many insights, which enable you to suddenly understand what true Buddha Dhamma is all about. So these are the correct words. Huh? What true Buddha Dhamma is all about. Yeah. The next part of the teaching is, at that point of seeing, I lost the personality or the so-called ego, which is the me who see. And for the first time in his life, he realized that without thought, there is no I and no me and no mind. Just that seeing. I add in the word consciousness in green. Yeah. So the answer is, this is good realization for not a direct seeing. It's from the past. But what you have gone through and realized is only from a glimpse of your past cultivation. You still need to stabilize this cultivation. We are stabilizing your inner awareness nature and your daily mindfulness to progress along the path of Dhamma further. To realize the true cessation of mind, form and mind. So he is working towards this one. Well, later on, he replied very fast. He was so excited with the answer. Then the last part is just explanation to him. He said, I recall the Diamond Sutta that say that three mind cannot be attained. As I recollect the incident, moment to moment, arising and passing in rapidity, one comes and diminishes almost simultaneously as I lost my mind. 1 second and the next moment, it returned to the point of seeing the flower like a flesh. This is his own description. He cannot describe well because he has not stabilized the understanding. So this one is that glimpse and the flesh. Yeah? So when he read the Diamond Sutta about that three mind, he suddenly connected to that glimpse. Because during that glimpse, he saw everything move so fast. Then the mind like freeze. Because when it like freeze, it's like slow down thing for you. But actually nothing slow down. When you are mindful, everything is like slow motion. But not really slow motion because of your mindfulness. There is clarity. Clarity. Then I answer him. This one is based on what I have shared with you all over the past 18 over years, ever since I come out to share. I always share this. I say, the three minds are mind of the past, future, and the present moment. In Mandarin, Mahayana, they call it 过去心不可得, 未来心不可得, 现在心也不可得. Means the past is already gone, no more a reality. The mind of the past. Then the mind of the future has yet to come, so also not a reality as yet. So the mind of the present moment is the only reality in life. Moment to moment life passes by, and that is the only reality and the highest in life. So what are living beings doing moment to moment? Are they mindful or heedful? Of the moment, sorry, spelling mistake, so many E come out. Or are they too busy thinking, planning, scheming, daydreaming, and worrying about life? So much so they totally miss out on life. The present moment is also so transient. Split second is dead and gone. Arise and pass away so fast, like what he has realized. So how real can life be? That is why the Buddha said it is anicchang dukkhang anatta. The three universal characteristics of existence or nature. Truth, the universal characteristics of nature are everywhere, in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see the enlightened one, they always see. Then the final answer is, the present moment is still within life. Within life, huh? There should be a word within life. So to transcend life, liao sen si, means go beyond birth and death. One must transcend even the present moment to realize the unconditioned, which is nibbana. Yeah. Then the second question, what is the difference between arahant nibbana and bodhisattva's nibbana? Huh? What do you think? Any difference? Huh? No, there is no difference. Nibbana, or what the Buddha called nibbana, is cessation of form and mind. And this is the unconditioned. So there is no difference, because when mind realizes itself and sees, the unconditioned manifests automatically. That one you cannot talk about, you cannot describe it. There is nothing inside there for you to talk. It's just complete cessation. Even the pure awareness also gone. But because of the bodhisattva's extensive cultivation, the wisdom and perfection of the bodhisattva are way, way beyond those of the arahants. That's why when it comes to perfection of wisdom and understanding and cultivation, the bodhisattva is a lot beyond, way, way beyond, no comparison at all. That is only different. Then the next part. Why does one cease to come back and one can come back to rebirth, means the bodhisattva? So I say, I explain in my March 2019 Dhamma video. Arahat do not have the understanding to walk the bodhisattva way. That's why they cannot come back. Once parinibbana has been realized, because once avijja rooted out, the last fetters, there is no rebirth consciousness born of ignorance. That's why they cannot take rebirth. Whereas the bodhisattva, through their vows and understanding, can still arise a pure thought born of love and compassion for living beings via the bodhisattva vows to come back. So this one, only bodhisattva have the understanding and they can do it. Yeah. Then the next part of the question is, once all defilements are clear, who is left to be reborn? So this one is explained above already. Then there is another part to the question, which is more or less the same. He said, since there is no self, then who take rebirth? So these are very basic, fundamental understanding, but hardly anybody understand. That's why I answer him by saying, you have yet to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind, which I have taught you all for the past 10 old years. And this is not easy to understand to most cultivators of the way. A lot of Buddhists, they cannot understand. That is why you cannot understand all this, I told him. There is no one to take rebirth, because the five aggregates of form and mind, which is the first aspect called the living being or human being, is not you. It is not a permanent unchanging entity. It is dependent originating, come about via the karmic process. Remember, I always tell you, this form and mind, the so-called human being, is what? Karmically conditioned out from our karmic nature for us to come during this segment of our life. So this segment, what you call Brother Teo, is this segment of my nature's manifestation as a form of mind. And this one goes the way of nature. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not me. But this one is subject to karma. This one can live life. This one can cultivate, can experience, can do everything. That's why there is another understanding. When you have true wisdom, born of realizing true emptiness, then life become meaningful, wonderful. That's why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned, 真空妙有. When you have penetrated true emptiness, life become wonderful, amazingly wonderful, meaningful. Yeah. So this is the meaning. Yeah? So that form and mind, the Buddha also, in the five daily contemplation, the last, the fifth one, he said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. That one refers to the five aggregate of form and mind, the living being. Because that one is subject to karma. And that one got the atta, I, the me. But when you cultivate with mindfulness through the penetrative awakening, you realize beyond thought or without thought, who are you? What are you? Beyond the five aggregate of form and mind, there is another nature within which is not a being, cannot come out and reply. But that one can awaken and realize penetrative wisdom to have this understanding. So that it is not deluded by the five aggregate of form and mind and the phenomenal world of form and consciousness created by the five aggregate of form and mind. That's how when you realize the cessation, you will understand the unconditioned and you will know how to live within the conditioned world. But the conditioned world has its own reality. There is such thing as life, existence. The five aggregate of form and mind connected to our karmic nature. Then this form and mind can also allow us to cultivate, connect to the gateway to realize our true mind, the true nature. So all these are related, connected. And this type of teaching, hardly anybody can understand, can even share it with you. That's why it doesn't surprise me that he can understand. That's why he said this type of question has been bothering them for very long, even as long time serious cultivator as a Buddhist. Yeah. Then the next part is even more beautiful. He said, when making a vow, isn't it a voluntary action which needs mental thoughts and emotion? If so, then these are also empty in nature. Yeah. When what then? Actually should be what then? Take on the rebirth, not when, what then? So I answer him. This is very straightforward. I say, you are using your thought to try to understand all this. Reason why you can't understand. Because in the 10 perfections, the Bodhisattva cultivate to realize Sammasambuddhahood, there is one perfection called Adittana, or strong resolve, or vow, born of unshakable faith, virtue, and wisdom via a pure mind, which is beyond the ordinary deluded thought and emotion. That's why that type of mind, with sincerity, with faith, and diligence, when it vows, it goes into the nature deep, like our Bodhisattva vow. The first stage of Bodhi will plant the seed of Bodhi. The Bodhi mind take deep root within the nature. Then when there is condition, whenever you arise, this nature, the Bodhi mind, will surface. That's why it will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to develop the understanding where you have developed that Bodhisattva vow. You have with sincerity, with faith, with wisdom, understanding, you make that vow and you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to have this understanding, life after life. And you plant the Bodhi mind out of love and compassion for living beings. You vow to take them all across the limitless living being within the entire existence. So these are the love and compassion of a true Bodhisattva. And there is no more avijja, nothing. That pure mind just make that aditana. That's why the Aditan, very powerful, and it goes into the nature, and it can be part of nature's law. It will manifest whenever condition arises. So this is the power of the Bodhisattva's perfection or Aditan, and this is the parami that my nature has perfected long ago. I am very, very good at this. That's why I know how to use this. Yeah. So all these are very beautiful. Yeah. Okay. I read the last part again. Yeah. There is a perfection called Aditana, or strong resolve, or vow, born of unshakable faith, virtue, and wisdom via a pure mind, which is beyond the ordinary deluded thought and emotion. Question 3. I heard a lot of Theravada monks say that a Sotapan has perfect sila, but based on the attainment, the three poisons are still intact. So here, he has said it wrongly. As a Sotapan, Sakkayaditti is no more. Understand? The three poisons is greed, hatred, and delusion. Sakkayaditti, self-delusion. That one no more. But the other two, yes, greed and hatred, but attenuated by a lot already. Because as a Sotapan, he know you, he know me. The form and mind is not him, not a permanent. So that understanding actually makes the Sotapan very different. Yeah. Then he asks, how then can a stream enter again perfect sila? Because he don't understand. Yeah. So after that I explained. I said the above is true. If you have developed and realized Sotapanaship, I asked him, have you heard of Avijja Sutta? Then I say, please read through this link, which is from the website, from my website, brotheo.com. So you go back, you click on this, the whole Avijja Sutta will come out. So I actually recopy and paste down here. So the Avijja Sutta and the Anguttara Nikaya 10.61 explain clearly the importance of having two noble friends as kayamitas to realize enlightenment. According to the Buddha, having noble friends or kayamita is one of the prerequisites to become an Arya or an enlightened being. It also talks about factors that will influence avijja or ignorance. To be free from ignorance is one's main task in cultivation. Having Dharma friends or spiritual friends or noble friends, kayamita, is a prerequisite for this task. Hence the importance of kayamitaship. That's why I call our grouping the My Kayamitas. There are two sequences discussed in this sutta. Each of the factors in both sequence has its own nutriment. The first sequence is the ignorance sequence. So the nutriment for avijja is the five mental hindrances. That's why once you don't have wisdom, the mental hindrance is there. And this mental hindrance, like we all know, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, yeah, restlessness of mind, and doubt. They are very powerful. Very, very powerful. You have them because you don't have the five opposite spiritual faculty to counter them. Yeah. Then, the new treatment for this five mental hindrance is the three way of bad conduct, mind, body, and speech. And how does the three way of bad conduct come about? It's because you have the five mental hindrance, the avijja, you don't have sense restraint. So unrestraint of the sense faculty is the cause. Yeah. Then, how did the unrestraint of the sense faculty come about? It's because you lack mindfulness and clear comprehension. So you have instead of sati sampajana, you have asati, asampajana. And the reason for this is you don't have yoniso manasikara. You have a yoniso manasikara. And the reason for this is because you don't have faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. And the reason for the lack of faith is because you never listen to the true Dhamma. Yeah. And the reason why you never listen to the true Dhamma is because you don't have Dhamma friends You do not associate with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friends, which we call Kanyamitas. So this is the Avijja cycle. Eh? So not associating with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friends or what we call Kanyamita is the starting nutriment to the wrong path that has finally ended up with Avijja leading to heedlessness of mind, heedless living. Whereas the second sequence is the enlightenment sequence. So the enlightenment sequence, you start with step one. Yeah? Step one is associating with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friend, Kalimita, which we all have. Eh? That's why I told him, as Buddhist sincere cultivator, we will fulfill this first step. Then second step is, because we have Kalimitas, good Dhamma friends, spiritual friend, we will have great opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. Yeah. So step two also will be a natural consequence if you have the right Kayamitas. Yeah. Of course, if you join the wrong Kayamita, you can also go Holland, go the wrong way. Then once you listen to a true Dhamma, your faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha will be there. This is step three. Once the faith is there, you will go all out to cultivate, and you will develop the first turning, second turning, and third turning wisdom. Especially the first and second turning wisdom, the initial wisdom, will give rise to stability of yonisomanasakara, or wise consideration at the moment of sense experience, means wise attention. Yonisomanasakara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So once you have this, like I explained just now, yeah, your mind will not stir and react, because it will prompt you. The Dhamma will prompt you. And the duality, the stirring, the reaction of mind, the light and the, all this will slow down and finally rooted out. That's why after yoniso manasikara, mindfulness and clear comprehension, sati sampajana, become very easy. You can do it. The mind have more and more space between thought. That's how it stabilizes. Stability of inner mindfulness. That nature stabilizes. Then it becomes tranquil, still, as a free mind. Then the daily mindfulness also become very, very still. That's how you do. Once you have that sati sampajana, step six, sense restraint, automatic. Means at the moment of sense experience, the wise attention, yoniso manasikara, will arise. Then it will prompt you, and you cannot go wrong. That's why it's very powerful. Then you have mindfulness and clear comprehension. You are very sensitive. You are very mindful. You can see, you can anticipate, you can understand a lot of things. That's why sense restraint become automatic, step six. By then, you are at least sotapanna. Then after that, you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the right speech, the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. The three way of good conduct will manifest. And it was stabilized. By then, you are at least a Sakadagami. Then you move on to step 8, the four foundation of mindfulness, which I have explained. Then the seven factor enlightenment, I will also explain. Then you will realize the cessation of form and mind. True knowledge of Vijja leading to enlightenment in the here and now. The realization of Nibbana, cessation of form and mind. That is how the enlightenment sequence come about. Okay, go on. Then I explain to him. Not again, you can see association with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friends or Kayamita is a prerequisite needed to arrive at that path that ends in true knowledge, Vijja, or enlightenment. That is the reason why the Buddha clearly instructs us, we are saying, to Venerable Ananda, having Dhamma friends or spiritual friends or noble friends, Kayamita, is 100% of the holy life. Hence, developing and promoting true Kayamitaship among all Buddhists within the Buddhist community is most important. That's why our organization is Kayamitas. Then based on the above Avijja Sutta under the enlightenment cycle, it is very clearly explained. Step 1, 2, and 3 marked in green above are relatively easy to cultivate for true cultivators of the way. Step four, which is yoniso manasikara, or wise attention, or wise consideration at the moment of sense experience. And step five, which is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension, are more difficult to realize. But for a lot of Kayamita, they already have four and five. That's why after that, after step five, you will be able to develop step six and seven, which is sense restraint and the three ways of good conduct. So a lot of Kayamita who has developed the four and five, they have started to cultivate the six and seven. That sense restraint means you are starting to train the form and mind not to break the precept. Because the sense restraint prompted by the yoniso manasikara, initial wisdom, can free you, can prevent your mind from stirring, reacting, and doing the wrong thing. It can break the craving cycle. Only then can step seven, which is the three way of wise or right conduct, comes about. So at step six and seven, one will realize either sotapannaship or sakadagami. After that, only one cultivate step eight, which is cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, or sati sampajana. Oh, sorry, sati patana. In the sati patana sutta, it stated, after overcoming covetousness and grief, only can one start cultivating this four foundation of mindfulness. That is, after completing steps six and seven. So step six and seven are actually the fourth and fifth factors, sensual desire and ill will. Because sense restraint is rooted out the sensual desire and ill will. Especially step seven, the three way of right conduct. So all these are very clear. Then in the end of the sutta is stated the assurance of attainment, where the Buddha said, verily, O bhikkhu, should one maintain this type of cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness in this way or in this manner for 7 years, 7 months, 1 month, 2 weeks, then finally 1 week. Then by him, one or two friction is proper to be expected. So either an anagami or an arahant. So if knowledge here and now, or if some form of cleaning is yet present, the state of non-returner, anagami at least. Hope this above helps with metta always. Then after that he replied. Actually the reply just came in, which is very good. So I read this, then we finish. He said, dear brother, really thankful. I have seen it, the video you listed, and together with your written explanation, it really increases my understanding of the Dhamma now. For my experience, I understand now what it is all about, and will work on daily mindfulness towards realizing cessation of form and mind. For the Nibbana and rebirth of Bodhisattva, I believe I am not at the stage to comprehend and understand with my limited parami. As I am walking towards Arahantship, I will drop the topic of Bodhisattvahood. For the Sotapanna stage, I fully understand by now. So all this clear up his question. So he said, thank you again for your patience to answer my question, Sadhu. And okay, we end. Let's have 2 minutes of silent metta. We read metta to Sister Lee and Brother Tiu. Brother Tiu is for his smooth and safe operation tomorrow, the minor knee muscle tear operation. So we hope he can develop the good parami to have a good surgeon to bring about a very safe and quick surgery so that he can recover to good health soon as possible. Okay. I will set the alarm for 2 minutes. You silence your mind, then you read it. Then for Sister Lee, it's for her to recover from her headache or whatever that caused her to be what she is recently. Yeah, it seems she has some problem. It's coming obstruction, she also know. So she is working towards it to overcome it. Like we send our metta, loving kindness, and you can invoke power of marriage to help her too. Okay. Thank you so much for helping to radiate metta, loving kindness, and express your pure wish and invoke power of marriage for their good recovery and safe, smooth operation. Okay. Now we will do the closing puja. Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed through tonight's sharing, which is very unique, very special, and very useful. And maybe rejoice in all this and share this marriage with all beings, starting with the devas. Akka Satta Chya Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Deo satukalina sasa sampati heto cha. Ito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamina. Mami bala samagamo, sattang samagamo hotu, yava nivana paratiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole sharing. Thank you for all the participation and input. Sadhu.